Hi.
Yes, I'm not Dr. Una, but my name is Cheta Anachuku and I'm her daughter. Before you get into the episode, I wanted to tell you about an amazing new masterclass my mom will be hosting on Thursday, April 18th at 6 p.m. EST, called The Top 3 Ways to Attract Patients to Your Private Practice in 2024. She will share the strategies that are working in her private practice and in the practices of her clients who are running seven-figure practices. It's not one to miss, so head over to save your spot at entremd.com/workshop. That's www.entremd.com/workshop. And be sure to share this with the private practice owners in your life. They will love you forever. Now, here's Dr. Una.
Hi, docs. Welcome to the EntreMD podcast, where it is all about helping amazing physicians just like you embrace entrepreneurship so you can have the freedom to live life and practice medicine on your terms. I'm your host, Dr. Una. Hi, docs, and welcome back to the EntreMD podcast. You are in for a treat today. Today, we are going to be looking at the anatomy of an EntreMD. Right? So if you play your cards right, if you develop all these business skills, if you learn all these new things, what could your path as a physician look like? That path that will lead you to financial freedom, the path that will lead you to being able to live life and practice medicine on your terms, working how long you want to work and making as much as you want to make. This is going to be really great. Okay? Something very interesting happened when I got my first job as an attending physician. So I need you to think about this, right? We're talking years of medical school, grueling years of residency, working 80-hour work weeks, looking forward to the end. And the end was 2008 for me, right? Looking forward to the end when I'll finally be done with all this stuff and I finally would have accomplished what I wanted. I'm an attending physician. I'll be my own boss. I'll be seeing patients. I will finally be earning some money. This is going to be great. Or so I thought. And I had anticipated all that, right? The boss, the paycheck, you know, the prestige. Not in a prideful kind of way, but we'd worked hard for this stuff. So this was, you know, return on investment time. And I still remember very clearly my first day on my first job. I got a job in a solo practice in Stockbridge, Georgia, and the pay was good. My boss was great. Introduced me to the staff. I talked to all the, you know, people that I know, like, look, I'm about to start. I need tips. And, you know, because now the buck stops with me. I was now a big boss. And it was great. So I had my first day. I think it was October 6th of 2008. And I got in there and I saw the first patient. And I think it was ringworm or something the patient had. It was so cool. I diagnosed it, sent the prescription, all that. Ha! First patient as an attending. And I remember walking out the room, and rather than being super exciting, I became sad. And it was very shocking to me. I was like, okay, this is a weird reaction. And the sadness came from all my life in my pursuit of becoming an MD. I had something to chase, right? When I was in high school, I was chasing great grades and all this stuff so I would qualify to get into a great medical school. And the entire time I was in medical school, I, you know, was working hard because I wanted to get into a great residency program. So I had a vision in front of me. And then when I was done with medical school and I got into residency, then my big goal was I'm going to become an attending. So there was always something I was chasing after. And now I'm an attending. And I'm like, okay, so what's next? You know, do I just do this? Like rinse and repeat from now till I'm 65? Like, wait, where am I going? What am I supposed to be doing? For the first time in my clinical career, I didn't have a roadmap. And maybe you started a practice, or maybe your thing was, you know, I wanted to get this kind of job or earn this kind of money. But to a certain extent, it's not, the roadmap isn't there. Like, from here, where do you go to? Okay? So now, over the years, that's changed. I have a roadmap, right? I know where I want to go. I know what I want to accomplish. It's probably not in a book written anywhere, but I have a roadmap. And it took a number of years, but I figured it out. And that's what I want us to look at today. What does that roadmap look like? Now, to understand it, I'm going to take you to the NBA. And, you know, you guys know I love basketball. And a lot of the reason why I love basketball, I don't play any of it, and I'm 5'3", so, you know. the reason why I like basketball is we as physicians can learn so much from it, so much, from the players, from the sport. It's really great. So I'm going to take you back to the NBA. Now, like physicians, they worked all their lives to get into the NBA, right? You know, they went to the basketball camps. They spent summers working on their game. They got, you know, great coaching. They chose schools based on what would make it easier for them to get in. All their lives, they've worked at it. They've broken bones. They've sprained ankles. They've spent a lot of money. They did everything. Everything was for the NBA. But when they get into the NBA, they don't feel like I've arrived, which is the way we feel when we become attendings in a certain way, right? Like, whew, I made it. They realize, it's like, whew, I made it. Now the work begins, right? Now the work begins. And that's the way we need to think as physicians. Like, I worked hard and I got here. And my thing was, I deserve to rest. Like, I've been working for so long. And their thing is, whew, I made it here. This is great. Now I'm going to milk this as much as I can. I'm going to make the best of this opportunity. And that's the way we need to think as physicians. They're clear when they get into the MBA that it's a new start. It's not an end. When you become an attending, it is a new start. It is not the end. So there are two kinds, you know, two ends of the spectrum. There are two kinds of MBA players, right? Some come in and leave. And within 5 years, they're bankrupt, right? I mean, the statistics show 60% of NBA players are in some kind of significant financial distress 5 years after they leave the league. But then there's this other 40% that come in and they recognize, I'm a business. Like, I'm a business. And this is what their roadmap looks like. And this is what our roadmap should look like as well. So, first phase is their active phase. They come into the NBA, they're playing, they have to work their numbers, they have to work their shooting percentages, they have to work on their weight, they have to work on their speed, they have to work on being the person that their team can depend on. They are working to build their notoriety as a great player. So that's the active phase, right? And that's the phase of, you know, you work, you get paid. If you don't work, you work, you don't get paid. You know, you work, you get paid, right? So that's phase one. A lot of NBA players stop there, but not the financially smart ones or not the smart ones, period. Once they build that, I'm a LeBron or I'm a Charles Barkley or I'm a Stephen Curry or I'm a Kevin Durant, right? I'm really good at, you know, 3-point shooting, or I'm really good at defense. I'm the defensive player of the year, all of that. Once they've built that in their active career, the next thing they do is they start building phase two, which is their leverage career. And in this part of their career, what they're doing is they're leveraging the name they built in their active career to build something else. So that is where you see them doing endorsements. That's where you see them on music videos. You see them in movies. You see them speaking on stages. It could be motivational. It could be whatever. You see them doing these things, starting companies, and the rest of them. Now, they still have to have some skin in the game, so it's not passive, but it's not as active as the active phase. It's leverage. They're building on what they've already done. All right, so that's phase two. And then phase three is their passive phase. This is where the smart ones would have taken earnings from their active career and earnings for their leveraged career, and they're plugging it into passive streams. Some will do stocks, a lot will do real estate, a lot will be silent partners in businesses, but it's passive. So being able to earn money or being able to make money in a business is not an end in itself. You have to figure out where you're going to park the money, right? And a lot of them will park them in real estate. This is what a smart NBA player does. This is the NBA player that does not show up as a statistic. You know, 60% are in financial distress in the first 5 years after leaving the league. They start with active, fully aware that that's only one third of their career. They go from active to leveraged to passive. That's the sequence, that's the anatomy, that's the roadmap, okay? So it is a disservice to everybody, including the player, for the player to start with active and stop there. Because what that means is you had all these opportunities, but you didn't take advantage of them. In the same way, as doctors, we have these three phases of our careers, and it's up to us to use all three. Traditionally, what has happened is we stop at active phase, right? So active phase for a physician would be I got a job or I started a practice that can't work without me, right? So you're a solopreneur, okay? Now, in that phase is you work, you eat, you work, you eat. If you don't work, you don't eat, okay? That's the active phase, and it's great, and we all have to start from there, and we have to be good at it, right? You're not necessarily going to get deals as an NBA player if you're no good, right? If you're the worst man in the worst team, nobody's telling you to come be the face for Nike. It's just not happening. So you have to be good at what you do. You have to be good as a clinician. You have to be great. Now, once you're done with that, you still have two other aspects of your career. You have the leveraged and you have the passive. So what would leverage look like for a physician? Maybe you've done this and now they make you, the CMO at an insurance company, right? And you've leveraged that. It's still active, but not as active. Maybe you've built your practice and you've put systems in where you're now the CEO of your practice. So you have four or five doctors working with you and you work 1 or 2 days a week. That's leveraged. Maybe you're speaking based on your depth of research or how vast your experience is. You're speaking on stages and making income as a speaker. You are leveraging what you've had. Okay, maybe you start off non-clinical businesses. Maybe you have a product line, whether it's, people have done accessories, they've done skincare, they've done apparel, like all kinds of stuff. Maybe you're a content creator, right? Maybe you create online courses, whatever it is. But now you're leveraging your expertise as a clinician. Now, you're still working, you work and you get paid, but it's more like you work and you get paid, as opposed to you work and you get paid in your active phase. So this is leveraged. Maybe it's coaching and consulting based on your years of experience. I have, a client who had for years worked with emergency departments to help them build their workflow efficiency, decrease their door-to-doc times, and all of this stuff. And now she can leverage that and pivot it and make that a consulting firm. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, this is all leveraged. I built a practice from the ground up. It's 9 years old at this point. It's thriving. It has systems. It works even if I'm not there. There are many doctors who want to build practices. I can consult with them and help them because I've done this for almost a decade. Do you see what I'm saying? So this is all leveraged. When you leave that on the table, there's so many things you want to give expression that you can't because you've not embraced it. Okay, so leverage, this is where you can live out purpose, you can live out your passions, but in order to do that, you must have business skills because business is the vehicle that you use, right? We live in an economic world. Business is the vehicle. The third is the passives. I need you to imagine you were disciplined as a doctor in your active phase. You only took out 10% of your gross income and you made sure that you put it away to invest in real estate. If you were earning $200,000 a year, that means over the course of 5 years, you would have had $100,000 in real estate. To which you're like, well, that's not enough. Well, it depends, right? Because if you're buying a $500,000 property and you had to put 20% down, that is $100,000, right? So, and that's just looking at it one way. There's so many ways to finance these deals and stuff, but you have stuff that is passive or you invest in syndications and all that kind of stuff, but you're parking your money, right? Because it needs to be parked. If you did stocks, I won't talk a lot about it because I'm more of a real estate kind of doc. I'm not really a stock doc, you know, but you took all that money and then you started speaking and coaching and consulting and doing all of that and use that to bankroll your real estate investment. You know what I'm saying? Then you can choose at 50, I just don't want to work anymore. You know what I mean? You can choose how long and how hard you want to practice medicine because you have financial freedom. You have to have financial freedom, right? So think about it. If you only do the active phase of your career, you did a third of your career, okay? You did a third. You left so much on the table. And it's not just money, but you left a lot of opportunities, a lot of lives you could have touched, a lot of changes you could have effected. You left all of that on the table. So what I'm going to ask you today is I want you to take a look at your career and commit to do all three, active, leveraged, and passive. You know, what would that look like for you? Passive is where you build financial freedom, because working for money is great that we can work and earn a great salary and all of that, but the ultimate is always your money working for you. So you want to generate it in active and leverage and park it in passive and let that money work for you, okay? You become the boss of your money, not the other way around. So don't stop at one. Don't stop there, okay? Don't stop at a third. You're an Entree MD. Do three out of three, okay? Now, I want to give you a gift today, and I want you to read it, and I want you to start thinking more about your leveraged career and your passive career and what that would look like for you. So for today, I have a free gift. It's a book that I wrote called 3 Ways to Make Six Figures as a Physician Entrepreneur. And what it will do is it will jumpstart your way of thinking. Like, I'm great. I'm a great clinician. How do I pivot and get into my leverage, right? There are tons of ways, but I talk about 3 ways in this book. So I want you to go to www.entremd.com/ebook, okay? And you can get it. You can download it. It's an easy read, and it will totally transform the way you think, all right? So EntreeMD, so entremd.com/ebook, and get it, and make sure you share it with another physician entrepreneur, okay? So you may be saying, but I don't want to start a practice. I don't want to start a business. I love my job. And so this doesn't apply to me. It applies to you like a whole lot, okay? Because the principle of an Entree MD means that you work for yourself, okay? You work for yourself no matter who pays you. You work for Dr. U Incorporated, okay? I have a client who works a job and she loves her job. And on our first call together, I was like, yeah, you have a really good deal. You should do this. And you're just 4 years out of residency. Let's do it, right? 3 years at that point. But I was like, you want to become an intrapreneur though. So what we did was we worked out a strategy where I'm like, you're going to treat this business, this practice, as though it were yours, and you're going to make yourself indispensable to the practice, okay? So she's doing all these amazing things. She starts the practice's YouTube channel, puts them on the map. She starts talking to the patients, building a community, getting them to work, great reviews. She's doing speaking gigs and people are coming in because of her and all of this stuff. So in that practice, she is an asset, and it puts her in such a great position to negotiate for, you know, either raises or extra time off and all of this stuff. And it's all because she decided to be an EntreMD even though she's employed full time. Do you see what I'm saying? This applies to everybody. So I want you to look at this roadmap, to look at this anatomy, and I want you to own your space, okay? I want you to decide what you're going to do for leveraged, what you're going to decide what you're going to do for passive, and I want you to start today. I want you to start today. You are an EntreMD. You do not stop at just one phase. You do all three phases. You knock this out of the park, okay? So thank you again for joining me today. Remember, you are an EntreMD. You're not just an MD. And you have what it takes to build your own pathway from active to leveraged to passive, so you can have that financial freedom, so you can have real estate investments that pay you more than your first job out of residency ever paid you, so you can go on the vacation because you want to, so you can do a cash-based clinic and choose the number of patients you want to see because you want to. You are in charge, okay? So see you same time next week. Don't forget to share, and I'll talk to you then. If you love this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, share, and review it on iTunes. As you go about your week, remember, you're not just an MD, you're an EntreMD. Don't forget to tune in next week for another great episode. Until next time.